Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday.
It's been a hell of a show, I'll tell you that right now.
It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Wait, look at him. Dude.
Ryan Buckley is here. Basketball has begun for the evening.
Basketball's begun. Hockey's begun. I got the Mets and the Cubs on. There's a lot happening.
Good sports night. Sook just looked into the lyrics of Kip Winger, I'm Only 17.
And we can confirm it is about an old man and a girl that is 17.
Yes. Yeah. And you're saying that when he sings I'm Only 17, he's saying that's what she's telling him.
Yes. And just when I thought she was coming to my door, she whispered sweet and brought me to the floor. She said, I'm only 17. I'll show you love
Gross.
Like you've
yeah,
never seen.
It really is.
Yes.
Daddy says she's too young, but yes, she's old enough for me.
And then he also says that she gives me loving I've never seen, and she's old enough for me. And then he calls her an old glove, which that's...
Do you think when you go see Winger now, they play that song and it's like...
They change the lyrics.
She's only 43.
Right?
43.
But look at this. Such a bad girl. Loves to work me overtime. Feels good. Hot. Dancing close to the
stop?
Borderline.
I don't like this.
Now, wait. She's a magic mountain. She's a leather glove?
Yeah, I don't like this.
What? That...
Nope.
Nope. What if you went home and was like, hey, baby, you know what?
You're just, okay, we apologize.
You're just like a leather glove.
What?
Is that a compliment?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but I find it uncomfortable.
I don't like any of it. Although I was
Text Nurse Nice right now and tell her that, that she's a magic mountain. She's a leather glove. See what she says.
I was looking at Spotify, and they have... Well, I was trying to think of other songs that have uncomfortable... underage girl lyrics.
Oh, there's a bunch.
Because there's a billion of them.
Yeah.
But what came up in my search was there is a playlist on Spotify called Jailbait.
Oh my God.
And it is all uncomfortable songs about young females.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of songs on here, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, rock and roll, Elvis Presley to...
he sang Hey Little Girl.
Well, and Elvis Presley like was doing Lisa Marie Presley when she was like 14. And then the Rolling Stone, or no, it was Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin had like a 13-year-old girl. Ted Nugent married his underage cousin. Jerry Lee Lewis had an underage cousin as well. Like, dude, there's weird stuff going on.
There's a song on here called Teenage Cutie.
You think that's what's playing at Bill Belichick's house? I think he's on Spotify Jailbait.
Ugh. By the way, I've got
a guy can't have hobbies.
Recon on Arlington Club.
Yeah.
And Soho Club. A couple people have been there. A buddy of mine texted me and said he's been to Soho. Soho, is that the one in Portland?
Soho's the yeah.
Well, they're
Soho
both
House?
I think it's called...
It was a club.
Well, it's Soho,
Soho House. Social it, club?
Yeah, it's a social club. That's the new one.
He says it's cool. It's got like a pool and cabanas and stuff, but it's kind of out of place because it's in Southeast Portland, you know? Is so it's
just,
kind of...
I just think of it as a place where like bros go to try to get like chicks, and that 100%. Is weird. Like,
right.
You ever see those dudes now, and they're just like, they're in a pack of them. It's never like one guy. It's like nine of them. And they're just like, you know, they're just like out in force. That's a...
Or there's one rich bro who brings a new girl on a date there every week because that's how he's trying.
Yeah, it's I'm out of that. And I got... It's a young man's game, or it's an old man's game.
Somebody else said, Arlington Club is posh. I went to a wedding there, and Pink Martini was the music.
Oh.
Wow. You ever heard Pink Martini?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. I've been in Arlington Club. It's just what you would imagine. Lots of dark mahogany, burgundy, leather chairs, old white guys wearing tweed jackets with wingtip shoes, smoking cigars, and drinking whiskey.
Yeah. It's about right.
Listening to Jailbait on Spotify.
I'll see if I can get you next. I'll see if I can get you into the this. I don't know. You should come. I don't know. You would drive over there. But if I showed you that Vancouver cigar club, you would think it was cool.
Well, I like a good cigar.
But the way it's set up is phenomenal. And again, I think just a bunch of people wanted to get away from their wives. And so they just got together and basically like bought a building in Vancouver.
Hey, man.
Yeah, it's... And then when you ask about like expanding, they're like, why would we do that? We're all comfortable right where we're at.
We all do it one way or another.
Yeah.
You know?
Some of you just have more money to buy a building.
All right. Well, we've got Cavs Pacers tonight.
Yeah. See if this actually becomes a series.
I'm not real interested. I'm not going to lie.
No, I did see that all three guys, Garland, Mobley, and Hunter, they said they were at least involved in the shoot around.
Oh, well, it started.
Garland's out there playing.
Okay, good.
I got the box score here too. Let's see.
Are all of them playing?
Mobley's playing.
Yeah, Garland and Mobley both started.
And Hunter's playing. Yeah, so.
All right.
Hunter's coming off the bench, but
all right. What do you think?
Garland's got 3 points, Mobley eight, and right now 32-26 Pacers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Look, I mean, look, if those three guys
Cavaliers.
Play.
It's 32-24 Cavaliers.
Oh, sorry.
Idiot.
If those three guys are playing, dude, this absolutely can be a series. You go to 2-1, and I mean, this is a must win. I think it's a must win for any down 2-0. It's a must win. You can come back from down 2-0. You're not coming back down from 3. You're just not. So, this is
that
is
all
where
we get tonight?
You get Thunder,
Thunder
Nuggets
and,
game 3.
Ooh, nice.
Game 2.
Nice.
Thunder Nuggets.
3, because it's back in Denver now. That's split.
You're doing great.
I am doing great.
By the way, the top 5 Jailbait songs: Young Girl, Gary Puckett, and The Union Gap, 1968. Christine 16 by Kiss.
Dude. Let's play
Stray Cat Blues by the Rolling Stones.
Let's play how many underage victims have been had at the hands of Kiss, by the way.
How about number 2, Don't Stand So Close to Me by the Police?
Oh, it's about...
I didn't know that was about that.
It's about the Saplings?
It says a schoolgirl crush on a teacher is one thing. Reciprocation is another. Sting, who worked as a teacher before the Police hit it big, has said that Don't Stand So Close to Me was not inspired by any of his own experiences. Instead, he was inspired by Lolita, in which an older man obsessed over a young girl flipping your mortarboard over a student doesn't sound too appealing in the band's tense hit. The story ends in accusations, pain, and embarrassment.
Hmm. I can't say I knew what that song was about.
And number 1 is Spinal Tap's Tonight, I'm Gonna Rock You Tonight.
Was there a need for the double tonight? Tonight, I'm Gonna Rock You Tonight?
But it's a bit. It's Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah, duh. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I wasn't
doing
attention
bits.
Who you said.
And by the way, Spinal Tap is genius.
It goes to 11.
Why don't you just make him go to... No, but these go to 11.
It goes to 11.
Well, that's enough for that segment.
Yeah.
Okay. We're done here.
Are we?
Well, we've got Joey Harrington coming up at 5:30. Up next, we'll continue with basketball things. What's worse, getting swept or blowing a 3-1 lead?
That's a good question.
We'll be right back. Yeah, dude. Man, I am adding so many songs to my Spotify playlist today.
The butt rock quotient of Rob Spotify is going up. Like,
this is slaughter.
Tenfold.
Up all night. All because you saw some tapes.
Yeah, at a thrift store.
And thought it cool.
When I saw the collection of them, I thought it was show worthy. That was the first thing I thought was, I think Rob would appreciate this.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I do. We'll have Joey Harrington coming on next. We will talk Pope. And I have a very important Duck recent sports result trivia for him.
Ooh, hot trivia.
Yeah.
Look at you doing big research.
And it's very relevant. Well, it's actually not research at all. I heard it on my favorite radio station, The Fan, driving home one day.
So not research.
We'll see if Joey's paying attention to Oregon sports.
I mean, I would make the argument that listening to your favorite radio station is kind of research. I mean...
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Audio research.
Pulled it right from my favorite show that's not named Primetime, the Ducks Insider?
Roundtabling Inside?
No, I think it's the Insider Show.
You went inside the Ducks?
Yeah, and Joey Mack wasn't even on it, and I still listened.
Look at you.
I'm a Duck guy now.
You're P1.
Anyway, we'll get to that with Joey at 5:30. What's worse, getting swept or blowing a 3-1 lead?
I would think blowing a 3-1
lead. Blowing a 3-1 lead.
Because if you get swept, maybe it's just one of those that, you know what, it just wasn't. They were just better than
us. We never had them.
We never had them.
You go up 3-1, you're like, we have three shots to finish this thing.
Yeah. And you can't? Yeah. Getting the 3-1 is way, way worse. Not even close.
Not even close.
No.
And in hockey a couple times, we have seen the reverse sweep, where it's been not just a 3-1, but a 3-0. A team has come all the way back four straight multiple times.
Yeah.
Is that worse than... blowing a 3-1 lead?
Yeah, because you're...
blowing a 3-0 lead.
3-0 lead.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
doing that. I mean, because then you just... I mean, I don't know if there's anything worse in sports. Is it like, if you blow like a 40-point lead, you look like a clown, but that's one game. But you do it, like, what's the Celtics? Celtics blew two... It's one thing to blow a 20-point lead, but to blow two of those things back-to-back... It's the idea of gacking something away repeatedly
because you can
excuse anything once, right? But when you do something over and over and over, that's when you know you're like a choke artist.
Yeah, well, if anything can happen in one game, it's
sure
a lot of variance.
Yeah,
but in these 7-game series, you're up three. You're one win from.
There's no excuse for losing.
Yeah, well, I mean.
You can't win one of those to close out. I mean, if it's an injury or something, like with Golden State, like, you know, you lose a guy. But if you're a team that's good enough to go up on a team 3-1 or, God forbid, 3-0, and you can't close it out, I do think that says something about your toughness. I think it says something about your mental fortitude.
How many teams have blown in the NBA have blown a 3-1 lead?
I don't know.
I think it's more than we'd think.
I don't think it's that many.
I know Doc Rivers has done it like six times.
Warriors were the only one to do it in the finals.
Yes, that's the only one.
But not overall in the playoffs.
And that's the damnedest thing is the Warriors did that and they were a 73-win team. That may be the most inexcusable or just perplexing thing I've ever seen. 73 wins and you had them. You had them dead to rights.
And then Draymond went and punched LeBron in the nuts.
Yep.
13 teams have rallied from a 3-1 deficit to win a series. So it's not that many.
No. And that think about all the series. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's not many at all.
And one in the finals. No one's ever come back from 3-0, right?
I don't think that's happened.
Not in the NBA. It has happened that one time with the Yankees and Red Sox in baseball.
And I know a couple times in hockey. Yeah.
The most recent instance was the Nuggets in 2020. Who overcame 3-1 deficits in two straight series. You remember that?
Is that the bubble year? I feel like a couple teams did that.
I think that is the bubble year.
Yeah, so maybe that's a little bit of a funky one. You know, does the bubble really... I mean, that's...
You don't like to count the bubble.
No, I do. I just think it's weird circumstances. I would... If you said that there were strange things that happened during the bubble that had never happened before, I'd be like, well, that makes sense. But no, I absolutely count it. Like, people don't want to give LeBron credit. The guy won an NBA title in LA. It's like when people often like crap on his time in LA, he came there and won a championship. He's won a title in every place he's been.
Yeah, but I think that it's more what's happened since then.
Sure.
And it's been pretty...
I understand.
It's been pretty rough.
But I love that we don't give him credit for going to LA and winning a title.
Oh, I think people do.
A lot of people don't.
I certainly do.
The editorial we, the royal we.
People are saying. LeBron never won there.
Never seen anything like it. More importantly.
What?
In hockey, we got three Canadian teams left in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We may get a Canadian champion this
year.
So
when's the last time we had a Canadian champion?
1993.
God.
It has been a long, long time.
Does that piss Canadians off?
Yes.
The Montreal Canadiens denied Wayne Gretzky a cup in 93, which means he still never got one. He doesn't have one.
Yeah. Gretzky in LA lost to the Canadiens in the finals. And that was the only time Gretzky on the U.S. side of things made it a final.
Okay. So he was...
He'd already won a bunch.
Yes. Yeah. He wasn't making fun of himself. Well, he kind of was making fun of himself. But
yes. But yeah, the Maple Leafs are on the verge of going up 3-0 on Florida. The Oilers are up 2-0 on the Vegas Knights. And then Winnipeg goes tonight. They're down 1-0 to the Stars. But I'm fingers crossed that we may get a Canadian champion this year. It'd be fantastic.
We want that?
I do.
We live in America.
I love my brothers of the North. I think what's happening is effing ridiculous. And I just, it bothers me when a team from Dallas or
Florida wins
the Stanley. They don't deserve the Stanley Cup. The Canadians, they should get a cup.
So which Canadian team are we got to be rooting for? Winnipeg, right?
I'm an Edmonton guy.
What?
I like Connor McDavid. So I'm going, I would like to see Edmonton 1, Toronto 2, and then believe it or not, I'm going Winnipeg 3.
Well, I'll fly the Jets flag.
Yeah. I would have no problem with the Jets winning, but also I think that the Jets are the least likely to win. They don't look very good right now.
Is NHL having a resurgence like the NBA in a sense that the NBA's playoffs are so much better now because they're kind of coming out of the super team era?
I think hockey is scoring a lot of goals right now. It is an offensive feast. So one of the problems that hockey had, one, it's back on ESPN and they're covering it. In fact, it's leading. Scott Van Pelt has been leading his late night sports center with it because it's coming out of the games. And so the fact that people are talking about it.
That's good.
And there's some marketable stars and there's a lot of action and goal scoring. These are not, 2-1 games. And so, yeah, I do think hockey's getting a bump. And like the Four Nations thing was a big success. So I'm hoping that hockey gets a little bump, but you know.
By the way, we've got a cracker of a game right now, 3-3 between Toronto and Florida now.
Yeah. It was 3-2 last night. I'm flipping back between that.
Yeah, Florida just scored again.
In the Mets.
Freaking but I think Panthers. The NBA is really having a nice little comeback.
Yeah, this has been a nice.
Because we're out of the super team era, and a lot of these teams are, some of these teams are better built.
Well, it's less predictable and there's more parity.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could kind of count on the 4 years in a row that the Warriors and Cavaliers just went to the finals against each other. Now it's felt wide open, really, from the beginning of these playoffs.
Well, especially if like New York is able to unseat Boston and Indiana. I mean, Indiana went to the conference finals last year. They got a chance to go back-to-back conference finals as the Indiana Pacers. I mean, that's a big deal.
What if it's New York, Indiana, OKC, and Minnesota?
You know?
Exactly as I predicted 5 years ago.
Well, and it may be one of those things, too, where I hope the ratings reflect that. Because we always say that we want new blood, but then when you get teams like Indiana or Minnesota in, then no one watches. So I hope
well,
that's
I think
not,
it, I don't know.
I hope that's not the case.
I think it's just more of interesting teams.
Yeah.
I mean, New York, this team, I don't know that they're that interesting. Are they? Compared to OKC is interesting.
OKC.
We'll watch OKC.
I mean, I just think, and this is kind of
like, Minnesota's interesting too.
Well, I think the Knicks and like Maple Leafs have some similar things and that they're both historic franchises. They haven't won a title in forever and they really haven't been relevant in a long ass time. So the fact that you have a storied franchise but it doesn't win very much, and if they can knock off the evil Celtics, the Knicks could be a really, really big story.
But people will watch the Knicks because it's
yes,
New York.
Because it's New York.
It's a brand. I'm talking about the other teams like Indiana, OKC.
Boy, I don't know, man. I think if it's Indiana and Minnesota, I think the ratings are not going to be good.
But that'd be a fun series.
It
to
would
watch.
Be a fun series. I think, I mean, out. Even if it's, I would think that Oklahoma City, even though it's a small market, I would think that still draws ratings. Like if you were the NBA and you had to pick it.
I mean, they have the MVP.
Yeah.
Chet.
I would assume if you're the NBA, you pick. I don't think you care Boston or New York. And then do you take Denver or do you take OKC?
Well, I think they probably want Golden State, but.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, yeah, not with Curry.
No,
out.
Not with
I mean,
Curry
it could out. Have. But.
I, you know, to the point, I even forgot about him. I was like, oh yeah, dude, Curry, they're not winning. They're
I
not winning.
I think Minnesota's got a shot to be.
Yeah, because of Ant and.
Yeah, they're interesting, and they got a shot to capture people.
Yeah,
especially because his style of play resembles That one guy?
Yeah, that one guy. Well, and he's a big personality. Him on the final stage, put him in front of a microphone.
People will like him.
Because, it's you know, Jokic is the best player in the NBA, but I'm not certain that people gravitate towards watching him. The casual fan, I'm not certain that does it.
All right, guys.
Bring gas.
We got to get to our friend, Joey Harrington. He will join us next. We'll talk about the Pope. And I've got a little duck trivia for him next on The Fan. Here's Buck.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Story time with Joey Harrington. And Joey, did you know that you're sitting with one of the last people in the Sistine Chapel before the Cardinals entered for the conclave? Did you know that you're sitting with one of those people?
We talked about this last week, dude.
No, we didn't.
Souk is a Cardinal. It's not excommunicado. Remember how we talked about that Souk was actually a Cardinal in hiding?
It's possible.
Yeah, he thought you were going to be our first stick and puck pope.
Well, I can't.
Yeah, first Mormon pope. Or not Mormon pope. But so here's the thing, right? Here's the idea that we came up with was, you know, like the movie Conclave.
Yeah.
Where the guy that, and again, dang it, that was my one job. You had one job. My one job was to go back and remember the term for a cardinal, like a secret cardinal, right? Where the Pope appoints a cardinal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there was that one guy. Yeah, there was the one guy in the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like not excommunicado, but a cardinal and something when their job is too dangerous. Like if you're in a place that wouldn't, you know, be very hospitable to a Catholic cardinal.
Is so it cardinal in pectore?
In pectore, yes. In pectore.
Thank you. I know
that. Pectore, pectore, yes. And so my theory was that you were actually a cardinal in pectore for at Brigham Young University. So that's you right. were actually a appointed cardinal of BYU. Mm. And there we were like, why is he in Italy? I was like, he's probably going back for the conclave because he is a cardinal in pectore. And had you outed, you know, been like, hey, I'm actually a cardinal at a Mormon university, they would have been like, no, that's not true. Cool. You should probably leave. Instead, you worked your way up the cardinals, and then I'm guessing were probably so. What was it like in the Sistine Chapel voting for the Pope?
It was really cool. Like the when we went there,
so you were there. You were voting for the Pope.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny, but I will say I was the last civilian out of the Sistine Chapel before they got it ready for the conclave. The morning of the funeral, I guess it would have been the morning before, the day before the funeral, because the day of the funeral, everything was shut down. Like you couldn't get anywhere near the Vatican. So this was the last day, and my friend had managed to arrange a private tour of the Vatican. We actually got to open it. So the Vatican opens at 8. We got there at like 5:30. They let you in the back door, and you go there with one lady who had like lived there since she was like 6. Her name was Rose. She was awesome. Who was like best friends with like Pope Francis. She was showing me like photos of him just like hanging out. And then so we got
this
to go.
This doesn't happen unless you are cardinal in pectore.
That's what I'm saying.
You're only confirming my suspicions because, like us lay, like I'm born and raised Catholic, yeah. right? You know, I've done the whole St. Peter's Tomb tour. Felt yep. pretty special about that. I did not get to open the Vatican. No. I didn't get to open the Sistine Chapel. Like that is only cardinal type stuff.
Yeah, something's up.
Yeah. Well, just like me and 12 other people, and so like we went. I got to open the door. That would to like where the residencies were. It's what would have sealed them in, not to the Sistine Chapel, but sealed them in when they did the conclave. And then we got to go into the chapel, and it was just the 12 of us. And then when the Vatican opened at 8, the security guards came in, kicked us out of the chapel. And then that's when the cleaning people and like they were setting up the voting stations.
So you got to open the doors when I'm forgetting me and my Latin. It's when they say everybody get out and they close the doors.
Yes.
You got to open those doors, those big giant wooden doors at the back. Because when you come into the Sistine Chapel and the tours, you come in and like that corner door
yeah.
up off to the right and of the altar. And then you work your way all the way back out the back corner door. But you don't ever go through the giant doors.
No. Yeah, I got to open those.
That Rob, he is definitely a cardinal yeah. and pectore. Like yeah. that's like there's only certain unless you're like a Swiss guard or you know making the everybody out call. Lay people don't just get to do those.
Are you sure about that? I thought we did when we were there. I thought we went through the big doors.
The key they gave me. They said it was the
second. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
They said it was the second oldest key behind the door that actually brings you into the Sistine Chapel. It was really it overwhelmed me. I cried, and I'm not a particularly religious guy, but it got me because I got to walk in. I was the first one to walk in because the hillbilly lady that opened the door, I wanted to throw her down a well. She yeehawed when she was opening the door, which just. Ugly American tourism. It really bothered. You can't yeehaw while opening the Sistine Chapel. And she yeehawed. And so I kind of pushed my way by her. And then I just kind of stood in the doorway for maybe 15 seconds by myself and no one could get by me. And it got me. It kind of brought me to tears kind of being in there, especially knowing like what was about to happen. It was a really just like a confluence of events to be the last people in there and to get to be in there by ourselves. It was, I'll never forget it. I can only imagine.
Because normally there's such a mass yeah. of people. When we went the last March, I'd been there previously and you could move around a little bit. Yeah. Like this was shoulder to shoulder. Yep. To have that entire space to yourself is astounding. astounding. Like, that's incredible. Yeah.
Well, it was weird because they, when they let you in for the tour, you go to the back door, you meet, it's like, you feel like it's a clandestine operation. So it's dark out at 5:30 in the morning. It's still dark. So you show up at the big back door where you leave. Like, that's where everyone leaves the Vatican. And just, she goes, hey, in a couple minutes, like, this is going to open. And some dude opens the door, just one of them. And then you walk in, and then he reshuts it and seals it. And then, like, you literally start turning on lights. And so it's weird as you're walking around. It's reverent, but also kind of creepy because you're walking into, like, dark rooms and hallways in the Vatican, and there's no one there. And that's just not supposed to be it, because at 8, when they boot you from the chapel – and then they open the regular doors. Within 10 minutes, there's thousands of people in there, and it has a completely different vibe to it. It honestly kind of feels it's kind of a little weird, because then it feels like a Disneyland, and people are kind of running around and kids. But to be in some of those rooms, like, by yourself and just have it be quiet and you kind of get to reflect, is, like I said, not even being a – I'm not Catholic, and I'm not really religious in any shape or form, but – there is a gravity to being in there when it's quiet and dark. I'll never forget the experience. Literally, it's probably the coolest thing I ever have gotten to do.
I would give you the advice, though, that if you're going to want to stay as a cardinal in the College of Cardinals, you probably shouldn't say, I'm not Catholic. That those two things don't usually jive.
Or I have to say that to keep my cover up.
Did you guys hear the report?
Part of it.
Did you hear the report of what Pope Leo said when he heard that he was elected Pope?
No.
He said, yeehaw.
That was the worst.
Well played.
I'm telling you.
Thank you.
This was the worst part of it. So they, every door you got to, they picked a different person to open the door, right? Yeah. And you get to the end, and we've all opened doors. A couple of us have opened, you know, two or three of them. So we're all angling to open the chapel. We know that's the end of the tour, right? That's the one everyone wants. And so, and I had been, I ask a lot of questions. I'm an inquisitive person when it comes to history. And so, like, Rose, the tour lady, had been showing me all these photos and kind of giving me I thought we had a little something going.
Ooh.
And I'm like, well, she was like 70. So I was like,
even better.
Yeah. So I was like, dude, I think I got a good shot at this. And she picked this old lady from the back. And I was like, all right, you know, you go with the old lady, you're an old lady. And she comes walking up, and I was like, that's really cool. I was kind of jealous. And as she's walking up, I hear this voice. I swear I'm not exaggerating. Oh, my goodness, y'all. Little old me from Dallas, Texas. Oh, look, honey, look at me. Look. Oh, my God. And she just will not shut up. And Rose is like trying. She's like, all right, here's the key. And that's when she's like, ah, honey, get a load of this. I'm opening the yeehaw. Oh. And I just, everyone in the group just wanted to punch her in the face. It just, like, we had this, like, really, like, moment where everyone was like, the gravity of this, and this one moron just couldn't keep it together. Like, and she just was like hooting and hollering, like she was entering a Buster's, like, barbecue.
What is appropriate to yeehaw?
Not that.
What even is yeehaw?
I think it's just an excited, like, yahoo.
It's something that Michael Jackson used in on break at a commercial, we got a yeehaw. It's in, you want to be starting something, I'm pretty sure that there's a yeehaw in that song.
I feel like yeehaw is, you're starting a cattle drive, or you're getting ready to, or you have just finished or started some sort of food challenge. Like, you're about to eat a 96-ounce steak, and if you eat it, you get your picture on the wall. You can yeehaw the beginning of that. You don't get to yeehaw, like, the Holy of Holies.
I have the answer. Would you guys like to know what
yeehaw?
The origins
of
yeehaw?
A TV show in, like, the late 70s, early 80s?
Is that Bonanza?
No, yeehaw. Oh, that was hee-haw.
Hee-haw.
Never mind.
Hee-haw. Yeah. The origin of yeehaw is thought to be rooted in the horseman's commands gee, which means go right, and haw, which means go left.
Oh, so yeah, it's a horsey thing. So,
yeehaw.
Yeah, get to going.
Go right, go left.
Get to going. Well, let's just say that lady, I will never forget that experience, and I will also never forget the rube that got to open that door. She did not deserve it.
I have nothing to add to the Secret Cardinal story.
Okay, well, I'm looking up.
I can't tell you anymore. Otherwise, you know, I risk my status as secret ex-Mormon cardinal, non-Catholic. Look, I got a... Yeah, it's a whole thing.
In pectore.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on a business card. Start doing that.
I'm not seeing a yeehaw and want to be starting something.
It seems like it'd be an odd place for a yeehaw. That seems more like a Kenny Rogers sort of thing, or, you know, like a Gene Autry.
I mean, he did.
I'm sticking to my guns on this one. Okay.
Michael would always hee hee.
Yeah, the hee hee.
Yeah, he.
Is that what you're thinking?
I think he hees.
There is a yeehaw. Dun, 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 dun. I can hear it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll get to work on that.
We'll get to going.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
And coming up next, I have recent Ducks sports results trivia for Joey Harrington.
Oh, hot trivia.
We'll see how much he's been following. Mm. This is Joey Harrington with us here on Friday, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
And there it is. He wasn't kidding.
Honestly, this is a tape measure moment for me. Why is there a yeehaw? Like, no. And yet it's there.
Is it a yeehaw or is it a hee-haw?
I don't.
It's hard close. To tell. It sounds like a yeehaw. I'm giving you a yeehaw.
I don't know that it is a yeehaw, but it's damn close.
I think it may be a hee-haw. Right. Either way,
I'm looking up.
There is a yeehaw in that song, and I knew there was.
Boy, when you said that, man, this is one of those like a hill I wasn't willing to die on, but I would have bet a significant wager that there's not a yeehaw in gonna, because I know that song. Also, there's a line in there apparently that says you're a vegetable.
Yeah.
What is?
Yeah, it's a buffet. Yeah.
You're just a buffet.
No idea. Yeah.
What did you think?
I don't know. I've heard that song 1,000 times, and I had no idea that there was a reference to a vegetable and a yeehaw. No idea.
You're a vegetable.
This is like when I found out there was lyrics to the Final Countdown other than "It's the Final Countdown."
Speaking of Final Countdown and Popes, have you seen that? Have you seen the mashup there?
Wait, before we get to that, because we're all over the place.
The Chicago Pope, as he's introduced to the final countdown.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, I
dude, that's
not.
Like the best thing. They did the
I haven't seen that.
The Jordan intro.
Oh, you know, yeah, when
it was
said
the
that.
Intro. It was the intro, yeah, yeah. Not the final.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, they do like what you're introducing the Chicago Bulls. I forget what that's called. Yeah. There's a name to that song, but it's the internet is undefeated. Let me just say that all the Pope stuff, like on Twitter, that's why Twitter is great, because there were some well timed bits that people were doing.
I'm looking here at the lyrics of "Want to Be Starting Something," and it does say it is yeehaw.
He yeehaws.
They yeehaw.
They yeehaw. Yeah, it's a group, collective yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Yeah. So, well played, Mr. Harrington. You know you're Michael Jackson.
Well, you know, not all of us were Cardinals in pectore during the 80s. Some of us were actually, kids. Hey,
I would like to point out my mom, and I've told this story. My mom, when I was like 4, because I was still riding a big wheel, 4 or 5, she made me a Michael Jackson glove. I rode around the mean streets of Gresham, Oregon, on my big wheel, wearing a homemade Michael Jackson sequin glove.
I have no idea what to say to that.
Yeah. That's how, and yet I didn't know.
Dude, he's just one-upping you right now.
I didn't know we were yeehawing.
He's a king one-upper.
What?
It's unbelievable.
It's okay, because once like the neighborhood kids saw it, someone else's mom made him like a really, really cool one, and then I felt bad about mine because it was lame.
All right, so I have Ducks trivia for you. Are you ready?
Okay, thank you for the...
You're
the,
welcome.
Yeah, ready to go.
It's why I'm here. In how many sports did the Ducks win Big Ten championships in its first season in the league?
Hmm.
Do you know the answer to that question?
Football, softball.
Two.
And they won baseball, didn't they?
No, baseball's still
going. Yeah, baseball's still having. Although they're like fifth in the country.
Baseball, they haven't had the...
Yeah, there could be more, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just so far.
So far.
Did they win acro tumbling?
What?
I think that's one of the sports they're not good at. We actually looked it up to see if they were bad at anything, and there's like 4 rando sports that they're actually bad at, and that's about it.
I'm going to say 3.
Okay. The answer is 6.
Mm.
They won 6 Big Ten titles in their inaugural season: football, softball, women's golf, women's cross.
Oh, I should have known that.
You should have known that.
They just, I was just looked at that the other day.
Shame on you.
Damn you. Women's cross country, women's indoor track and field, and men's indoor track and field. Now, they could still win championships in baseball
and
outdoor track and field.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they're doing in those.
Can I be honest? I didn't know there was indoor track and field and outdoor track and field.
Yeah, I forgot. I saw those. I forgot.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
So
that was really good.
Here's the next question. Behind football, what is the second best head coaching position at Oregon?
What do I think is?
Yeah. Well, you're our Duck guy. I mean, I trust your opinion on this. I wouldn't ask Mike Riley this, you know?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, you said trivia, so I was like, was
oh, no,
some
this isn't.
Or something
this is
that
more
came
of
out?
An, this is more of an opinion.
Yeah, this is just, we only had the one trivia question. Oh, so
that
sorry.
Was it? Well, you said you had trivia. I thought that meant multiple trivia.
It was just that. Just that.
I'm sorry. Trying to go through kind of, you know.
Well, pay-wise, it has to be basketball.
Well, men's basketball.
Well,
everyone's going to say men's basketball.
But I'm trying to weigh the pressure to win versus the, you know, uber competitiveness of Big Ten basketball, right? You know, so
all of it. Yeah. I don't think it is men's basketball.
I don't think it is. I mean, women's basketball might be in there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'd put baseball in there as well.
Agreed.
Because there isn't the history. There isn't the, does everybody want to be good? Of course. Of course they do. But I don't think a bad season, you know, or a season where you don't win a conference championships leads to a coach getting fired in baseball, right? That's the thing is you want to have some runway. You want to have some job stability. If you're asking me what the best coaching job is, I have to factor those things into it.
That's why we ask you the tough questions like that. It's exactly what I was thinking. And I think it might be women's basketball.
Well, haven't they won? Like, how many track championships in a row have they
won?
Well,
that's true. Yeah.
Like a dynasty. Wouldn't that? Yeah, cross country, whatever it is. Like they have one of those things. They've won like 12 in a row or something.
But who's
ridiculous.
The track coach?
I don't know. But I'm guessing it's good to be that person.
Yeah.
And I know that, and this is going to, you know, this is going to come off really stupid, but if I'm a track coach, do I say, ready, run?
What do you do?
Well, I think you're like
what, you know, because there's got to be specific. Hey, if I'm throwing the shot, you know, I guess my point is like a head track coach isn't going to, well, I guess the head football coach doesn't coach directly either. He coaches the coaches, right? Mm-hmm. The head football coach is kind of the organizer of the position coaches. So there's what they do.
Check this out. So I guess Jerry Schumacher is the guy.
Yeah.
So since 1895, there have only been 8 head coaches, and they have 33 national championships.
God.
How much
does he make, though?
I don't know.
And does he coach both men's and women?
Again, you're asking me questions that I don't have the answer to, but I'm guessing Jerry Schumacher has a great gig because all you say is, hey, go out there, throw and run, and then you win national championships.
Yeah, but he mentioned pressure. It might be a lot of pressure being the head track coach at Oregon. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going women's basketball. I think Kelly Graves, like, so here's the thing that I appreciate I think has to be appreciated in this conversation. Sure, is Kelly Graves had a couple down years.
Yeah.
Right. However, you have the runway. He had the success and has had has a great run. You have the ability to build things back, which is exactly what he's doing, right? It's so many places, like, or in so many other coaching positions, if you have a bad year, God forbid, too, like, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, I don't subscribe to that philosophy.
It's a big NIL sport, and the Ducks are uniquely positioned well in NIL, but it's not as high profile as men's basketball, but you still have all the resources.
Yep.
And I don't think it's quite as competitive in women's basketball to get a recruit as it is in men's.
It is interesting. I was having this conversation with someone during the women's tournament as we were watching, and this is my assumption. They asked, why aren't there more competitive, you know, in the men's tournament, you can get a Holy Cross to knock off a Villanova, right? You can get a George Mason into the Final Four, right? That has happened. That never happens in women's college basketball. You have your top 8, 12 powers that are there year in and year out.
And it's always them that win.
Yes, exactly. And I think that my supposition, my guess on that was that for a lot longer time, young boys have been encouraged and supported in playing basketball, right? And it hasn't, and so therefore you develop talent sooner. There's more talent when you get to college, and that talent disperses. With the development of the women's game over, call it, the last decade, that is starting to happen. That is starting, you know, you're starting to see more teams other than just UConn and Stanford and, you know, the old Pat Summit Tennessee teams. And like, so you're starting to see more of it. But yeah, I think to your point is like, there are fewer teams to truly compete against right now in women's basketball. However, I think that it is going to change with the way that women's sports, thankfully, are being supported now.
Yeah, yeah. Gino even said that at UConn, I want to say a couple years ago, because it had been a while since they had won a national title, and he did allude to the fact that back in the day, it was basically them and Tennessee. Like, there were only a handful of real difference makers, and you either went to UConn or you went to Tennessee, and he pointed that out, that
it's there's more of those difference makers, and you know, now they go to South Carolina and they go to Baylor and they go to LSU, whereas back in the day there were really only two or three competitive teams, and that's coming from the winningest coach in college basketball history, male or female.
Yeah, he's done okay for himself.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all we have.
Yeah. It was this was more of like a story time with Cardinal and Pectoré. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Duke on 1080 the Fan.
Well, it is a pretty cool story you got to admit.
Oh my God, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was almost better than Jack being fed in a maid's closet off of the Sistine Chapel when he was an infant.
Oh.
That's kind of you ask and they just let you dip in?
Baby was fussy, you didn't have a place to go and they hooked you up.
We were with our guide, and Emma was like, Jack needs to be fed. And she's like, no, not here. Too sexy for the Vatican. Let me find you somewhere. And she worked her magic, and, you know, and there you go. And we were deep in the hallways.
That's a great question, though. So that's a trivia question.
Yeah.
Can you breastfeed in the Vatican? The answer is no.
Apparently not.
Well, I mean, you can.
Well, you go into a closet.
Yeah, you better hide it.
There you go.
And I tried sending you something, Joey. When I was over there, we went to a Florentine soccer game, and I thought of you, but the service over there, like, I couldn't send, like, sending photos and videos were, like, it was really hard. So now,
did you see Fiorentina against who?
We saw Fiorentina against. It was one of the bad teams. They were like in 18th place. But I thought of you because it was a really cool thing. And I'll now that I'm actually over here, because then once I got back when I had cell service, enough time had passed. But I'll send you a couple of videos I took because it was a really cool experience. And I thought of you when I was over there. I was like, I got to send Joey some of the chants, some of the songs. But
I've heard it's a cool old stadium.
It was. It was a really cool old stadium. And
where is that?
In Florence.
Oh, well, yeah, that would
make sense. Fiorentina.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but right. that was another kind of cool thing. But I was thinking of you over there.
All right. Have a good one.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay, bye.
Bye. That's Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Club 1080, next on the Fan.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.